Welcome to Grails, a podcast by Alton Insights. My name is John Tunger, and on this episode, we are talking to the CEO of Collectible, Ezra Levine, and we talk about everything that's going on with their platform, their new Mint Collective event that they are running, things that he is seeing, trends in the market right now. It's a really good episode, catching up with the CEO of Collectible. Let's get started. Since last time you were on, we talked like origin story. You just broke that you guys were going to be going to more frequent trading. How has it been since? What have you guys been up to?
Yeah, in short, a lot. You know, we've taken a pretty aggressive approach, obviously, to kind of building over the last year, and we've taken an aggressive approach in a lot of ways, right? Just, you know, obviously in terms of the offering counts that we've done, I think we've now completed almost 160 IPOs. In total, our AUM on the platform, and if you include, you know, retained equity, the amount raised from the public and asset sales, I think we're pushing a little bit over $40 million, right? So $40 million in year one in one category alone. It's been exciting. On the secondary market side, you know, we obviously went to continuous trading relatively early. We expanded recently over the last month to 12 to 4, right? So we were in power hour trading for a long time, as we sort of built up our base a little bit. We expanded to 12 to 4. And again, for a little breaking news, which I actually attempted to break when I was on the podcast last time, that I'm actually going to break again this time. We actually are going to full stock market hours starting next Tuesday. So October, that's October 12th, right? Like October 12th, we will actually be expanding our market to full 9:30 to 4 o'clock. Again, the sort of vision there was, in the same way how you can buy and sell Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google, we want you to be able to buy Jordan, Mantle, et cetera, on our platform. Full stock market hours, again, that begins next Tuesday, October 12th.
Wow. Breaking news once again. Every time we have this guy on, Ezra, this is it's gold. So when you say that for people who are newer, what does that mean when it comes to like a platform IPOs? Is there still a waiting period before you can go and then trade? So like items are then tapered into that new trading period. How does that work for people who are newer?
Yeah. So once an item is funded on the platform, there's a 60-day lockup, right? So we've reduced the lockup period. Originally we were at 90 days. Now we're at 60 days. The hope is that we get that shorter and shorter. After 60 days, then items are available for trading on the platform. If you have the newer version of our app, which we released, I believe, is last Thursday or Friday with the new UI UX, you'll see that secondary market trading has really been prioritized, right? We want to, and now I think we have 120, give or take, assets that are trading every single day. We want people to be able to more easily identify opportunities, sort of the top movers for the day, the top decliners for the day, where the volume is, where the activity is, to be able to, you know, have clickable, sort of indexes where you can see, if the Nevermind Billion Index is up 27% year to date, what's in that and what's really driving that, right? So we want to really kind of give that attribution data front and center. To go back to your previous question, right? So after 60 days, assets begin trading, right? So trading means, again, as I mentioned before, we're going to full stock market trading hours, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You'll be able to buy shares, buy, sell, and trade shares of all the items on our platform that are eligible for trading.
And why do you think you guys have been able to push so hard when it comes to secondary trading? And it seems like you're really ahead of the curve with that, right? What is maybe stopping others from going as hard as you guys are? Like, what are you seeing on your end so that you guys can pull this off?
Yeah, I can't really speak to other platforms. Obviously, I can just talk about us. You know, I think we are a team founded by people who have participated in the financial markets for a long time. I think we're generally markets people. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's a concern perhaps amongst other outlets, right? That, you know, that the market can't handle volatility, right? Or that the market maybe is not deep enough to withstand short-term volatility and pressure. You know, I actually think volatility is healthy for a market. Obviously, we don't want things to get completely out of whack, of course. But, you know, I also think one thing that we saw is obviously over the summer when things were, you know, sort of a bit sloppier, if you will, that was actually one of the biggest drivers of new investors and users coming to our platform, is that they recognize great opportunities and great deals, right? So, you know, I think, if there are people who are taking a very short term and, a short-term view and maybe get scared out of positions or want to sell things for whatever reason at a certain price. And I think that's their prerogative. And I don't think collectibles should necessarily stand in their way of getting liquidity or getting out of positions if they need to or want to, right? But I think in order to have a healthy functioning market, you need to give people the ability to have liquidity. And it also for people who, you know, or whatever, for whatever reason, selling positions, it presents opportunities for other people. I think generally what we've seen is that opportunities that are so freaking good don't last that long, right? That the market is becoming more efficient. It's definitely not efficient, but it's becoming more efficient. I also think, I think collectible has done a lot, and we will continue to do a hell of a lot more to provide education and content so that people can understand where some of the opportunities are. I mean, we've done, you know, we're doing this internally with our internally generated content. You've probably seen a lot of the content partnerships that we've established where, you know, they're talking about opportunities and what's undervalued and what's overvalued too. I mean, we're, you know, all these partners, all these partnerships were established with, hey, just talk about the market like you're an unbiased third party analyst. That's very important to us. Again, it's all in the spirit of sort of market efficiency. There's not always great deals to be had, and that's okay, right? So again, you know, I think our view here is just that it's okay to let these things trade. It's okay if these things are a little volatile. I think people understand that the market is still, you know, relatively illiquid, but I also think the illiquidity and the volatility that comes from illiquidity presents opportunities, and opportunities, you know, are ultimately what people are looking for. And I also think I want to give a shout out to Alton as well. I mean, I think, you know, the types of content that you guys create where you sort of alert people to auction sales or recent comps. Yeah. And I think that's also so important for this, right? Just sort of flagging people on potential opportunities. And I think all of that will just lead to a more efficient market and a more liquid market. I think that's where all of us are ultimately headed.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like having you on, it's sort of a gold mine here to be able to even, because you guys just have so much insight with all the trading that's going on. A big question I have is, what are you seeing when it comes to like seasonality of these assets, you know, and how they trade? So for example, like football, are they just going gangbusters right now because that's the focus? So Mahomes cards actually seem like they've been lagging recently. Like how does seasonality affect now that you have trading, a robust trading platform?
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that there is just, you know, sort of heightened interest when things are relevant, right? So football is relevant. Yeah, I think there's just more interest in football. And so maybe people, you know, start to look for football assets. Yeah, generally speaking, what we've seen is the real sort of increase in activity is coming when there is a catalyst, right? And I use the word catalyst. Really, I think the primary catalysts on our market so far have been auction comparables, right? So if something sells at auction for higher or lower, that's, you know, our market is generally, you know, sort of lagging auctions for the time being. So our market either plays catch up or it sort of plays catch down, you know, if you will. So I think, you know, that's definitely been a primary driver of activity. If there's a real sort of meaningful repricing of an asset, our market definitely tends to react either favorably or negatively to that. And I think that's really healthy. The other obvious catalyst has been buyout offers, right? When assets, you know, do receive buyout offers, then they tend to trade, you know, correlated to that. If it's been declined, that tends to create sort of a new support level for these assets. Right. If they've been accepted, obviously, then they're off the platform. But yeah, I think you know, that the activity that we've seen, the volume, you know, where volume has really picked up and activity has picked up, has been actually less seasonality and you know, and sort of less, you know, sort of sports specific, and more when there's a catalyst in the form of either auction results or buyout opportunities on the platform.
Yeah, and this is where I should plug, you know, Bradley and Dylan's auction content here. They cover a lot of that stuff to get an opportunity for people to see what's going on at auction houses. You guys have had a crazy pace of IPOs, right? Like you even just said 60 items since our last conversation. You might have said a higher number than that. Are you guys still thinking that this kind of pace of a bunch of new items on the platform can be maintained? What are you guys looking at in terms of pace there?
Yeah, I mean, we've been quite aggressive on the pace. You know, I think we've completed almost 160 actually since over the last year. So we've done about 160, you know, with the total, you know, sort of AUM the platform is approaching $40 million. You know, look, I think it speaks to a couple of things. One is that you know, we have just tremendous access to supply, right? We are certainly not supply, we're not held back by our access to supply. In fact, we've got, you know, sort of a lot of supply that is already qualified by the SEC or ones that we're already submitting to the SEC for qualification, right? So it's we don't have a shortage of inventory. We definitely want to be, you know, sort of curatorial in the inventory that we're putting out to the market. But I also think the market has shown that it can handle a lot. You know, I think we've operated at a breakneck pace. You know, there have definitely been times where demand has been a little weaker on the platform, and when that's transpired, we've slowed it down. But when demand is there, we tend to accelerate it. And again, the major reason for that is that we want to give a little bit of something for everybody. Everyone, you know, even within our single vertical, right? There's lots of subcategories and lots of different interest levels, and people are interested in vintage or modern, or photos, or bats, or game used, right, or cards. There's certain players that people like, and there's certain eras that people like. So, you know, we're trying to get as many opportunities to get as many people involved with the platform as possible. We're obviously, you know, we closely monitor, you know, the sort of relationship between supply, you know, on the platform, and sort of how much demand and how much interest there is. And, you know, if there's a point where we feel like we're diluting that, then we will definitely rein it in a little bit. But I think, you know, our market has responded really well. I think we're continuously getting deals funded. It's definitely continuing to lead to, you know, more and more opportunities for us. I also think, you know, that there's just so much untapped demand out there, right? I think, you know, the pool of investors and the pool of capital on all of these fractional platforms is just so small compared to, you know, what I think the demand ultimately is for these kinds of alternative assets, right? And so I think, you know, as many items as we can put on the platform to kind of show proof of concept, and hopefully returns, right, and how actually closely it mimics, you know, real more traditional investments. And I think that does a lot to bring in more traditional pools of capital that are significantly larger than whatever our sort of cumulative retail base is so far.
Yeah, and you guys are always really great when it's like, oh, tickets are starting to trend up, and then all of a sudden there's some awesome tickets on your platform that people can invest in, right? They see, once people start kind of talking about this stuff, you provide that, like you said, you guys are niche already with sports collectibles, but then there's so many underneath that. Do you guys think that you're still going to be sticking with sports collectibles, at least in the near future? Or, I mean, collectible, it's a broad name. You guys can open this thing up. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have that optionality for sure. But yeah, as I think we've been very consistent. We really think there's a tremendous amount of benefit for being category focused and really just, you know, sort of focused on our one category, right? So yeah, I mean, that opportunity always presents itself. We've turned out a lot of opportunities to expand to other categories. You know, I think the major reason for that also is I think there's still a tremendous education gap that I think people need to, or that we need to get over for people, right? I think, you know, it's not necessarily an easy mental conversion, if you will, for people to say, I like sports, I like football, I like, you know, I remember childhood when I collected cards, to thinking about these things as an investment opportunity. I think there's a lot of education and conversion that we still need to do. And frankly, it's a lot easier to do that in one category. And it's still challenging, by the way, to do it in one category, because there's so many different types of subcategories within one category that you know, I think it would be even more difficult if we were, you know, spread across multiple categories. So that's a primary driver for that. But yeah, again, look, we always have that optionality. It is something that has been brought to us and presented to us numerous times across numerous verticals, and we've been very consistent in you know, sort of turning down those opportunities.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of education and community, Mint Collective, I feel like this is a big headline here. What is Mint Collective, and what are you guys doing with that?
Yeah, so this is a joint venture between Collectible and IMG Endeavor. IMG Endeavor obviously has recognized the market opportunity within sports collectibles. It certainly is becoming, if not already, that third-headed monster with fantasy sports and sports gambling. You're definitely getting that sort of speculative. Yeah, I mean, it's just such a fascinating layered market where it's got a lot of crossovers between sort of the speculative sports business, right, fantasy sports and sports gambling, but it also has such a richness when it comes to, you know, being just a time-honored alternative, you know, sort of asset, right? So yeah, I mean, they came to us and, you know, so recognize what we're doing to hopefully bring this asset class to the masses and to expand the pool of people who can participate in it. So we struck up a joint venture with IMG. We're going to be hosting, hopefully, you know, what is an annual event that we can hopefully even expand upon there. But, you know, we're starting with the first annual conference. It'll be in Las Vegas. It'll be at the UFC Apex Center, so at the UFC's headquarters in Las Vegas. We've announced a couple big speakers. We have Dana White, obviously, from the UFC. We've got Josh Luber. There's, you know, just the amount of star power in the room is going to be really high. We just actually announced today that eBay is the presenting sponsor for this conference. And yeah, again, you know, the mission here really is to kind of bridge our market, right, in sports collectibles from pure passion, pure hobby, to passion and profits, right? To kind of really make a compelling thesis for why this should be a far more mainstream alternative asset. And I think, you know, by doing so, I also think it'll help all the other categories too, right? I love what Masterworks has done also. I love what Rally and Otis have been doing too, just in terms of generating awareness for the category, for generating awareness for, hey, look, there are other things that you can invest in aside from stocks, bonds, you know, sort of crypto, all the other verticals, you know, in which it's already sort of hard coded into minds and hearts, right? So yeah, we're really excited about it. It's definitely been a big lift, but I think it's going to do a lot to, you know, really sort of shape the narrative and to advance the, you know, sort of our industry forward to really be considered not just something that is, you know, has a lot of passion in it. It's not just, you know, sort of a hobby anymore. It's also a market and it's also an investment opportunity. And I think you know, our goal is to really kind of bridge those two worlds via this conference.
Yeah. Do you think that you'll, you guys will card show it at all, right? Make it like a card/memorabilia. Maybe it's a session there where people can bring some of their stuff and make some deals.
Yeah. So we will certainly have, you know, some of the fabric of a traditional trade show. We're going to have a lot more sort of thought leadership as well. We're actually going to be announcing next week that we actually are running an auction as well. It'll be small in lot size, but it'll be big in terms of the minimum sort of appraised value of items in it.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be making that announcement. Yeah, I think it should be really fun. Again, it'll have, you know, some of the assets and sort of, you know, sort of aspects, I should say, of a traditional card show, but it'll have a lot more thought leadership. I think it'll be just a little bit of a facelift as well for some of these card shows. I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity. I mean, you know, in the category, and yeah, you know, we think we've identified a really great partner who's helping us to put this on in IMG. And, you know, I think the reaction from the market so far has been excited.
Yeah, no, it seems amazing. I'm a big football guy. I hear you're a football guy. Is that true?
I am a football guy. I'm a Giants fan.
Giants fan. Okay. You guys won this last weekend?
We did. We did.
Yes. Okay. I remember.
We were down big to the Saints. We rallied back and won it. Shocking.
Right. Shockingly, what are you in your personal collections? Are you looking at any assets when it comes to football memorabilia or cards? What are some things that you've been interested in? Personal takes, not financial advice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yes. I mean, I personally have been, I've been a little more excited recently with game worn items. I think the game use category, in my opinion, is still dramatically undervalued relative to cards. I still think cards, you know, over the long term, as more, you know, sort of money comes in the system, I think cards, you know, relative to the popularity of certain underlying athletes or certain franchises, are still dramatically underpriced in a lot of categories. I mean, you know, I look at one card in our platform. Again, this is not securities advice, but, you know, we've got an asset live right now still on our platform for Ronaldo, right? It's a Ronaldo 1/1 from 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the ratio of of social media followers, right, and that's, I don't think that's encompassing all of us fans in the world. I mean, I'm fans of a lot of players I don't follow on social media, right? But you look at just social media followers, his 500 million followers. And with this particular card, there's one of them in the entire world, right? So anytime there's a ratio of 500 million to one, I'm interested. So, you know, what I love about game used in particular is every item that's game used is intrinsically and inherently a 1/1, right? So I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there in all different verticals and subsectors within sports, but I've definitely been focused more personally on the sort of game use subsector.
Yeah, and especially because a lot of patches aren't even game worn anymore. I could see how that could be really valuable. So what other things are you guys doing with your product, obviously, besides the big announcement of stock hour trading? But what's coming down the pipe there?
We also are going to be announcing or releasing, I should say, a further upgrade to the UI UX experience on the app, right? So there's going to be a lot more customization for people. I think that's one thing that we've, you know, we've identified as well as, you know, if you're interested in a certain asset, right, you might want to, you know, be served news on that particular asset. You might not care about all the other insights, but you might want to hear about, you know, a certain, you know, thing. We also are going to be having watch lists, right, where, you know, you can sort of, you know, peg and input items that you care about. We're going to be having, you know, sort of customized alerts and, you know, and sort of notifications on things. You'll probably see more of an in-depth charting feature. You're going to be seeing, you know, far more in-depth analysis to really sort of position this as an alternative asset class. I think one thing that, you know, I hear a lot is, okay, I understand sports collectibles has been a good place to invest, but, you know, how does it compare to other things that I could be investing in? How does it compare to the S&P 500 or to the gold index or to cryptocurrencies? Or, you know, should I have invested in the Michael Jordan PSA 10 instead of Nike stock, right? So we're going to be making a lot of those sort of cross asset correlations obvious in some of our marketing campaigns as well. But yeah, if you're a user of collectible, I would definitely expect further UI UX upgrades coming for us in the very near future.
Right. When you're saying news, you almost mean like, so if I look at like a Mickey Mantle card, oh, I forgot, some big CEO just bought a PSA 8. He just started the guy who founded Fitbit. He just added a PSA 8 Mickey Mantle and like a LeBron card, right? So all of a sudden, like you're saying, that could even pop up in the app and be like, oh, news. So, you know, like almost a mini catalyst right there or something like that.
Exactly. If there's any news that is relevant to the asset that, you know, that could be market moving news, we want to give that to people who've identified or sort of shown an interest in a particular asset.
Desktop app? I never use it. Yeah, I'm not even sure if you guys have one.
This is something that we're definitely prioritizing. Yeah. So we do not. So we have a website, but it's not a functioning transactional website, right? So you can browse our offerings, but you can't actually transact in it. This is definitely something that we're prioritizing. I would expect this from us probably in the next 3 to 6 months. And so we're excited to be able to, you know, to have various ways for you to invest and to check our app at all times of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What else would you want to talk to the people about if this is your chance here? I know I've had you for about 25 minutes. What would you want to talk about, promote for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, I think you will see, you know, more sort of a doubling down of our strategy. And I think you'll definitely see more iconic assets come to the platform. There's a couple amazing things that I wish I could talk about that we've secured that we're going to be bringing to you soon. And I think, you know, we're going to really double down on our content and education effort. We've tried to do as much as we possibly can. Obviously, as our team continues to expand, you can expect more content, more education, more entertainment, you know, from us. Because again, I think our whole team thinks that, you know, still where this industry hasn't necessarily been the best at is education, right? And to really sort of tell the story of investing in collectibles, right? I think all of us are probably firm believers that in the next couple of years, if that's not already happening already, that collectibles will be looked at as any other asset that you can invest in, right? And in the same way how that narrative has been told over and over again in crypto. And crypto, almost shockingly and amazingly, has gone fully mainstream. You can look at I even think NFTs perhaps have even done a better job with this than, you know, sort of our market has, right? So, you know, I think you're gonna be seeing sort of a lot more narrative, you know, sort of on investing in collectibles as part of your general sort of investment strategy. Yeah. Obviously, you know, our live event category is definitely going to be growing. We're really, really excited about that. Our data is going to be growing, right? So we hired, you know, just, you know, two amazing people who've been working solely on the data front. So there's a lot going on. Obviously, we love to hear feedback, love to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, you know, if you have thoughts in terms of what we're doing well, what we're not doing well, we're always open minded to that, and we definitely try to take ideas from the Alted community and implement them. There've definitely been cases where, you know, we've got an idea from someone and we've tried to implement that almost on the fly, right? So we love to hear from you. We're definitely trying to create the best experience possible for all of you guys. And, you know, I think all of us are just really excited for the continued expansion and growth of our space.
For the lawyers in the back, a quick disclaimer. You understand that by listening to this podcast, you are not receiving financial advice. No content published here constitutes a recommendation that any particular security, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any specific person. You alone are solely responsible for determining whether an investment, security, or strategy, or any other product or service is appropriate or suitable for you based on your investment objectives and personal financial situation. Please speak with a financial advisor to understand if the risks inherent in trading are appropriate for you. Trade at your own risk. Bum, bum, bum.